Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast line. Welcome to a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen. And we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. Now we will hear, have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much, Nurse Carmen. I almost forgot who we were, but it's all right.
Okay.
I just want everyone to just take heed. Normally we have like an open discussion and stuff, but tonight I just want to read some literature to you. And as I read the literature to you, you might not be able to soak it all in, but as I've always said, don't believe or anything that I have to say. Just listen to what it is that has to be said. And then you speak to yourself, and I guarantee you, you'll get the answer, confirming or denying. As I've said throughout so many of our podcasts, your soul knows all there is to know all the time. There's nothing hidden to it, nothing unknown. Yet knowing is not enough. The soul seeks to experience. You can know yourself to be generous, but unless you do something which displays generosity, you have nothing but a concept. You can know yourself to be kind, but unless you do someone a kindness, you have nothing but an idea about yourself. It is your soul's only desire to turn its grandest concept about yourself into its greatest experience. Until concept becomes experience, all there is speculation. And we've all been speculating about ourselves for a long time, longer than you and I could collectively remember, longer than the age of the universe times the age of the universe. You see, then how young is, how new is, and your experience of yourself. Now, I know kind of lost you, so I'm going to try and explain it in this way. And what I'm trying to get you to see and understand a little better is when we talk about the God in you and you being part of God, if you take heed and hear what it is that's being said, and then let it register within yourself, maybe this will enlighten you a little bit more to the concept so that you can look and judge things differently. In the beginning, that which is was all there was, and there was nothing else. Yet, all that is could not know itself, because all that is, all there was, and there was nothing else. And so all that is was not. For in the absence of something else, all that is not. That is the great is not, to which many mystics have referred from the beginning of time. Now, all that is knew it was all there was, but this was not enough, for it could only know its utter magnificence conceptually, not experientially. Yet the experience of itself, of that for which it longed, for it wanted to know how it felt like to be magnificent. Still, this was impossible, because the very term magnificent is a relative term. All that is could not know what it felt like to be magnificent unless that which is not showed up. In the absence of that which is not, that which is not. Now, I know that was a whole lot of is and is not, but just let it.
Sure
just
was.
Let it, just let it, because it's about, it's letting us know from the beginning. As I said, the soul knows everything. There is nothing that we don't know. It's because of who we are. The one thing all that is knew is that there was nothing else. And so it could and would never know itself from a reference point outside of itself. Such a point did not exist. Only one's reference point existed, and that was the single place where thin, the is not is, the am not am. Still, all of everything chose to know itself experientially. This energy, this pure, unseen, unheard, unobserved, and therefore unknown by anyone else, energy chose to experience itself as the utter magnificence it was. In order to do this, it realized it could have to use a reference point within. It reasoned quite correctly that any portion of itself would necessarily have to be less than the whole, and that if it thus simply divided itself into portions, each portion being less than the whole, could look back on the rest of itself and see magnificence. I'll break that down just a little bit for you.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see, how do we do this? When we look at our body, per se, okay, when we look at our body, we see our body, and we don't really realize how magnificent it is. And I'm talking about all different parts of the body. But when we happen to lose a part of the body, then we better understand how magnificent that part was. We take our fingers for granted, but if we lose our fingers, don't we better understand how important that finger was?
Say that again?
I said we take our, for instance, our fingers, and I'm just using
right.
this as an example because we're talking about the energy, okay? So
right.
with our fingers, if we take our fingers for granted, the thumb,
right.
we don't hold it to be anything special per se. But when you lose the thumb, then you realize how much more important that thumb was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I'll give you another example. Okay. You buy a coat. You buy the coat, you wear the coat, but you don't realize just how great that coat is. So what you do is you take the coat off and you kind of see it from a distance. And then you get to see just how beautiful that coat really is. And these are honestly lame examples, but I'm trying to break it down in its simplest form so that we can better understand who we are. And so I'll use the text in which we're talking about here tonight. When God realized that it was nothing but God, and we call it God, but that's just a name that we gave it. The spirit, the energy, realized that that was all it was, and it knew that it could do everything, but there was nothing to do. Because all that was the energy. But when you know that you know, so if you know that you can do something, so what it did was it created stuff. And that same stuff that it created it from itself. I'll give you another kind of example, but remember the magnitude in which we're talking. If you go out and you build something, when you build that, you kind of step back and be amazed at what it is that you did, right?
Right, right.
So what you were able to do at that time was you were able to experience it. We've got a picture in our head, but until we actually do something with that, it, you know what I mean? When you, like before you built the house, the doghouse, you thought about the house or the doghouse or whatever it was, you thought about it. But all it was a relative figment of
right.
your imagination, per se. So now for you to enjoy it, you had to build it. Then when you build the house and seen all that you've done to it, then you get a chance to glorify in it. Why? Because you did this. You understood what you were capable of doing, and so what you were able to do is magnify that house because that's something that you did. Now, I know a lot of is's and stuff, and it's a concept. That's why I said, just hear what it is that I'm saying, and you won't get all of it, but what you do remember, talk to yourself about it, and see if it brings it back to your remembrance. Because remember, the soul already knows everything. So when you speak truth to the soul is only going to speak truth back. Remember, the soul only wants the grandest version of yourself. Because the soul is that part of God that he uses for exponential, the experience. To experience just how magnificent the spirit is. So that's what the soul is, and that's the part of God, and this is the part of God which is placed in each and every one of us. Why? So that God can experience his magnificence through each and every one of us. This is why we're here, to be the grandest version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the soul desires, to be the grandest version. Why? Because the soul is of God, and it's here to be, to experience it, so to be the grandest self, because it is God. So it is good. So what I'm getting back to is trying to let you better understand why I can say with such profound knowing that we are all part of the body of God. And so some people with limited thinking would think about the fact that, well, it's 60 zillion people here, so God must not be too much left. But that's just a fraction of God. Why? Because God is everything.
That's right. Yeah.
And with God being everything, one of the things in which organized religion has a tendency to do is label God, quote unquote, only the good and not the bad. But what you have to understand, in the realm of God, there is no good or bad. So the spirit, the energy, can be both. Why? Because bad, as we call it, is just as good as good, as we call it. And I say that because if you did not know about what we call bad, How can you know good if you don't know bad? If you don't know hot, how do you know cold? So we have to understand that God is all of this. God is not just as religion would have you to know, quote unquote, just good. And well, he is just good, but the things that we label bad is not bad when you look at it from the experience in which I'm trying to explain to you that we are all that it is. God is all that it is. In the beginning, there was nothing but God. And this is when God said, well, what good is me being God if it's just me? How can I enjoy So how can I experience being God if it's just a bunch of energy and it's just me, the energy? That's all there is. So how can I experience it? How can you experience the pleasure of a new car if you don't put no gas in it? You've got to do something so that you can experience. Otherwise, it's just speculation. You get a new car and you ain't got no gas in it and you can't drive it. You're just speculating that it's a good car. So you've got to be able to get in it and drive it, per se, so that then you can determine that it's good or not. But you have to be able to experience it. So I'm going to go back just so that, you know, so you got to understand that if you don't, you know it all already, but in order for you to truly know it, you have to be able to experience it. Because once again, if you just know it and never experienced it, then you just have a concept. And the concept is not what is going to fulfill you or make you the grandest version. And what I mean by that, you can tell, as I stated earlier, you can say you're the most loving person in the world. You can say it, but if you don't show love, you don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't be it unless you're able to experience it.
Right.
And so the same with God. God knew that he was magnificent, but he had to be able to experience it. And this is what he's doing through each and every one of us. Each little part, each God in all of us is experiencing this thing that we call life and making ourselves the greatest version in which we can be of ourselves. Then somebody might say, well, how come we got all of this crazy stuff going on? Some of it to us is crazy because it is not the path in which we took. But even as crazy as this may sound, even serial killers, we look at it as the worst thing, but that serial killer himself looked at it like a masterpiece. Some of them, the killings and stuff that they did, they honored that. Now, once again, just understand, I am not condoning anything. I'm just saying how if we look at it from their perspective instead of from our perspective, and understand that each and every one of us have our own path. that we have to take. Now, just because I didn't take the path that you took does not make my path wrong for me. And then you say, well, you might end up in jail, you might end up killed, but that was my path, and that might have been what I wanted. It had to be what I wanted if that's what I did.
Right.
So it's not just a concept. This is an experience, and this is something that we have to experience. We have to experience the wholeness of who we are. But it's hard for us to get to that point because we're so busy worried about everybody else. Why this person ain't tie his shoe? Why this person didn't do this?
Some of us.
Well, I'm not speaking in one person. I'm talking about the masses.
Right.
And so what we need to do is better know ourselves, because when we better know ourselves, then we can begin to understand who it is that we are. And then when we see that person per se that doesn't fit our model, and that person is in need of some kind of help or something to that nature, then we won't look at that person the wrong way. We won't look at that panhandler the wrong way. We won't look at the prostitute the wrong way. We won't look at the drug addict the wrong way. Then we would be able to better understand. But right now, we only see things from our point of view with regards to how we think everything should be.
True.
And how we think everything should be should only be to us how we should be. As I said before, I've said many times before, one of the things that my mom always said, every tub has got to sit on its own bottom. So because every tub's got to sit on its own bottom, it is my job to be the best me that I can be. Now,
right.
As I become the best me that I can be, if you needed me for some kind of assistance, then it is my job to be of assistance to you. And what I mean by that is sometimes we feel like we want to go out there and save the drug addict, or we want to save the crackhead. You know, we want to save the alcoholic. We want to save these people. But if these people that aren't asking for true help, why are we interfering in their lives? And you say, well, we want to try and stop them from killing themselves. That might be their destiny, because
mm-hmm.
we're all going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That time is going to come where we're all going to die. Some might want to go sooner. It's allowing the soul to be to direct us. There's a scripture in the Bible that says the way of a good man's path is already set. And that they say, man, but that applies to each and every one of us. It is
right.
already set because of the fact that your soul is telling you what is best. The only problem is we're not listening to our soul. We rather listen to our mind or to our body. And that's not to say that you can't, but you can't expect to be the best that you can be, and you're not relying on the proper information.
Right.
And the proper information on you being the grandest you can be is listening to your soul. And that's why your path is already set, because the soul already got the answer. You just got to ask it, or you just got to listen to it. And it has guided us. We've listened to it on some things. Sometimes it's told us not to go down that street, and we listened. And we're still here today. There are some people that didn't listen, and they're not here today, per se.
Right.
But it's about listening to your soul, not to me, not to anyone else, not to no preacher, not to no minister, not to no anyone, but to you. Because if you be truthful, In the physical sense, your soul, your spirit within you has never led you wrong. It has never told you to slap somebody. It has never told you to take something. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, and the urge ever came upon you to steal something, and I'm just using that, it's something in you that told you, no, you shouldn't do that. That
right.
Doesn't mean you didn't do it, but it's something in you that told you you shouldn't do that.
Right.
And now people want to say, well, my parents raised me that way. Well, your parents raised you that way, but your parents raised a lot of people that way, and they steal. There are some people that are extremely rich and don't have to steal, but they still steal. But I guarantee you, it's not because they're listening to their soul. Because if you want to know the soul at work, the soul is always going to do whatever it is that's going to make the grandest you that it can. The grandest you representing God. And if you think about it, I know I'm always using Sister T all the time, but that was a beautiful experience because of the fact that she was able to feel it within. And we feel it within sometimes too, but we let it go and we move on with the daily hustle bustle of this life.
Amen.
There is no better feeling than knowing that you have been able to help someone. Now, you know, there are some that do it just for the notoriety and stuff of that nature, but I mean sincerely just helping someone because they are in need.
Right.
And so this is how we become the grandest. Now, being that can get you all that you would like as well, but we'll come to learn eventually that is nothing. All the money in the world, all the money in the world, people still die. All the money in the world, people still have different problems. Because we don't have that much, we say, well, those are some things that we could work out. But no, it's the way it is because we have not figured out who we are first and who we are trying to be the grandest. Because when you become the grandest of yourself, when you have all that money, it is not a problem to give it away. You know why it's not a problem to give it away? Actually, sometimes they give it away too freely. You know why? Because they know who they are and they know that it's coming back. But religion, what they've done is they've taken it and they've made it as a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean a requirement is that you're not doing it from, you're not giving from your heart. You're giving it because it's a requirement to please man. But when you give it from your heart, regardless of how much or whatever it is, there is so much more. But we, once again, because we're so busy trying to please each other instead of pleasing God. And that God is the God in you, your soul.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, even when you do something to the level that Sister T did, and I'm quite sure everybody did it before, but Sister T shared it with us, so that's why I like to use her, because she shared it with us. So when you do something like that, even if your friends or whoever around you say you shouldn't have done it, you still have that feeling. That feeling that is as if I am well pleased.
Right.
Regardless to what it is. So our time is about up, but I'm going to go further in this lesson because this is important for us so that we can better understand that me getting on here saying that you are a part of God, there is proof for you. Now, once again, as I said, you ain't got to believe that. Just take it to yourself. Don't take it to nobody else. Take it to yourself. Because if you take it to somebody else, they're just going to give you their opinion. But I want you to get your own opinion. I want the God in you to answer that for you. So that way you know that you know. I thank you as our time has run out. I thank you, and I hope something was said would resonate within you to give you that desire to want to search yourself. Go within so that it can make it clear to you so that you can continue on this path of being the best you possible. Love you all, and I'll talk to you again on Sunday. Until then, keep your head up. Remember, you got power. Good night, everyone.
All right.
Love you all.
Good night. Good night.